Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
I'm of the opinion that Focus is a great organization. I love Focus. I owe everything, pretty much everything in my life right now, to my time and Focus. But they're also not a religious order. Like, if you're a Focus missionary,
yeah,
they're your employer. Like, you don't owe them obedience, right? Like, it's,
yeah,
which is kind of a weird thing. Like, it is a spiritual thing that you are doing. It is a mission that you are embarking upon. And you do have to abide by what the church says. But at the end of the day, they could fire you for not doing the dating fast. But I've never heard of any.
I've never heard of that happening. Yeah. Happening.
You know? I know it hurts.
I'm sorry.
All right, you came to the right place, you ding dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast that's been placed inside of a cursed gemstone.
You must go find it. And I'm Patrick, and this is a podcast, a special edition of The Crunch Podcast, which is a podcast where Ethan and I, two buddies who've been friends for about 7 years, we have a little conversation about a topic of the faith. We goof off and we invite you along for the ride. We're happy you're here. This episode of The Crunch is our Wednesday episode. It's called Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. Ethan, who, as we know, has a PhD in dating, answers the questions that you guys send in. If you have not sent in a question to the Discord about your dating life, you can go to bit.ly/crunchdiscord and you can submit your question to the Dating Corner channel. It will get answered probably right away by someone in our Discord. If not, it'll be answered by us on this show. We got some good questions for you this week.
I don't think we should actually use magic to curse gemstones. I want to be clear about
that. I think that it's probably bad to curse.
I was thinking, what if we could curse gemstones? Maybe we get it's not okay. If we could get a bunch of Christian witches and like source them from the local Sprouts and like get them over here. And we can put a magic spell in it that makes people go to church. That would be good. You know,
I don't think we should do that. I think that's the end, justifying the means.
I think that, but the means aren't that bad. You know, you say, what do you say, Baba Booey? And then inside the gem, it goes.
I like that all magic is vaguely Italian. Gabagoo! And then all of a sudden a stick comes to life. And
is Baba Booey an Italian thing?
Baba Booey, I think so.
I guess so. I could imagine a big, slick 400-pound man saying, Baba Booey.
Yeah.
kind of slides through doors half the like width of his body.
Like that guy in the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
That man.
Wow. Every time, now that Peter is he's of the age where he's shaped like cheese from Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, his belly kind of sticks out.
Dude.
So every time I see him, I think of the Dead Sea guy. I really do.
I hope you take this in the spirit that it's meant.
Yeah, what are you
because
say
it's about? Endearing. I found it endearing. But I was watching The Incredibles the other night.
You think I look like Syndrome? That what you're gonna say?
No. I don't think that.
What do you think?
I don't think that at all.
Yeah.
I think that Jack kind of looks like Peter.
Oh, well, that's great. Beloved character Jack. The guy that everyone likes, Jack.
Like Incredibles. his little, like I was like, that's Peter.
He does kind of have a bit of a jovial,
the wisp on the hair,
a jovial robustness that other children lack that he possesses.
I think this means your son might be able to turn himself into fire.
He can turn his body around and hurt himself very easily.
Awesome.
Yeah, he went outside today and he's walking la 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 la. First of all, he knows how to say meatball, which is just an incredible little toy that I get to play with. I can go up to him and I say meatball and he goes meatball. This is great. So that's fun. But he's walking outside.
He knows his name. He's a little meatball, you know.
Yeah, a little meatball. But we have these like bug screens. They like come down magnetic. You've probably seen these, you go in and out. And he goes outside and he's holding on to one flap and he trips. And he kind of goes horizontal for a second, like a Cirque du Soleil performer. But then he smacks his head on the slide that's right by the thing. And he keeps spinning. And he kind of like does a 360 deal, but he like hits his head. And he just like lands
multiple
on the
times.
He's just stuck there.
Doop, 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 doop.
Like the woman that got stuck under the helicopter that got spun. Do you know what video I'm talking about?
No.
Dude, there's this like old lady.
Did she live?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure she did. But she needed to be like lifelighted out of somewhere. And they got all the wires mixed up. So
she's just spinning at
terminal velocity. Oh, man. Oh, I forgot about that. It's so funny.
Really
but
funny.
That's what happened to Peter. And then he got hurt. And he was all sad. Poor kid. But he's fine now. Dude, anyway. I love that video of the old lady spinning. That's funny.
That's good.
I'm going to pull it up.
So
I'm going to see it.
This episode of The Crunch is not going to make you spin. We're going to lifelight you to the nearest dating hospital.
Nice.
You
this guy's a professional in radio.
A professional segwayer.
This is an expert.
It's easy when your podcast has medical themes most of the time because either we're on the dating corner or I went to the doctor this week.
Right.
And I got some stuff I got to say.
Yes.
So.
I'm just going to.
Yep.
Right here. Hold on. When does it?
That's
there. It is. Here it comes.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. She's just stuck in there, and she can't. She's strapped in.
That's not good.
So fast. Why don't they just put her down? The closed captions say, like, put her down. No, take off. Like, they're arguing with each other about what to do.
Because you can't. I mean, she's going to hit the ground spinning. Like, you can't hit the ground spinning.
Oh, man. You can go to YouTube, youtube.com/crunchcast. You can check it out. And you can find that video of us. I'm sorry. I feel bad laughing. All right, let's do some.
Let's lifelight our good friend Crab Rangoon to the nearest dating hospital.
I'm sorry, I've had a long day.
You needed that, buddy.
I didn't need it. Read the question. The doctor is in. I'm here to poke and prod.
This one's another Crab Rangoon special. It's a number 8. Duck sauce. All right. Worth salvaging a relationship after the guy makes a disparaging comment about the girl's body, asking for a friend?
Was that the whole question?
No. Ethan Bott says, context, people. Context. Okay. So he's been extremely respectful up until now. As far as I know, oh, she is actually asking for a friend. Okay.
Yes.
Usually when people say that, they mean asking, it's me. They mean it. As far as I know, they have a bantering kind of relationship. Oh, dude.
Like me and Patrick? You make disparaging comments about my body.
If you're bantering with your girlfriend, that's not your girlfriend. That's your co-host. All right. Let's tell you that much. Start a podcast or something if you want to banter. Jeez. As far as I know, they have a bantering kind of relationship, so all kinds of jokes have been made. But this time, right. The guy, sort of out of the blue, said she needs to downsize her bra size.
What?
Dude.
Is this guy
how
gay?
How old are you, man? Or how, yeah, that's kind of, he's calling her small-chested.
Oh, I thought he was saying, like, your breasts are so
boob
big.
Reduction.
Yeah, and it's like, what guy has ever said that? Sorry to be crass, but like that just doesn't
that's
compute.
Not, it's hardwired into our brain to
that's
not
like
say
not
that.
The average male experience is saying this woman needs smaller breasts. That's just not what happens.
No, he's physically saying she has small breasts.
Okay, and that she should wear a smaller bra because
of the
that
small
makes
breasts.
Sense. I see.
Naturally, the girl was very upset and hurt. Yeah. I told him so. He didn't really admit to it being wrong until the next day. I'm worried about his integrity.
Yeah.
His integrity now. Integrity now. What was that?
Serenity now.
Serenity now. Yeah. I didn't think he was the kind of guy to think like that, but he has struggled. He has struggled with prawn in the past.
Mm.
And even though that was a long
surprise
time ago, she's
of
always
the century.
Had. Yeah, right. She's always been. I don't think I've ever like considered a woman's breasts to be small. And then, you know, like that's not my thought. I'm like, those are small.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's not like a thought that I have ever.
Well, you're also a married man committed to one woman, so it'd be weird if you went around being like
that's
bigger,
true.
Smaller,
perhaps,
smaller,
and also I've been
bigger, smaller,
bigger, smaller, up, down. Yeah, I guess I've also been with my wife in some capacity since like 2017. So yeah. Like, I guess it's been a long time since I've been in a position to think like that.
Right.
And even though that was a long time ago. She's been concerned about how that affecting how he perceives her. I've told her to talk to him about it. They're going to talk about it. It just worried me. He didn't apologize right away. Yeah, it is weird that he didn't immediately see that. It's like, oh, that's too far.
I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Because you can be wrong. Here's the thing. I'm wrong all the time with my wife. I say things that I shouldn't say all the time.
All the time.
And then I have to say, I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that. And she just has to, like, accept the apology. I mean, she doesn't have to, but she does because she loves me. And she knows that, like, sometimes you just say stuff that you don't mean, whether it's an accident
and
or
sometimes that's all it takes.
Sometimes it's all it takes. So the fact that he didn't apologize, I don't know. I'm not one to judge someone's entire relationship based on one decision.
One interaction,
but,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like, if this girl thinks that this is a pattern of other behavior, and that this guy really just has a warped view of the female body, and it's affecting. Can you hear that thunder? It's like pouring rain right now out here.
I heard that, but
yeah, I was going to smoke cigar with my neighbor tonight, but I do not think we will be able to do that anymore.
You can just hang out in the house and get some packs in, some four Nick.
Dude, we got to get packed up. You and me. Oh man, I'm so excited! I'm excited for my nicotine arc. I can feel it coming. It's like around the corner. I can smell it.
You
like
and me
a storm.
In the Vatican packed up,
dude. Come on, we'd be the same as all the other Italians. I don't think I. You, typically, I'm not like break up. I'm like talk to him first.
Yeah, talk to it.
And it sounds like that's what they're doing. They're going to talk about it. But the girl, just like trust your gut in a situation like this. If something's telling you that something's off, then something's probably off. And like.
Yeah.
For this girl that's in this relationship, your friend, she might just have excused it multiple times, you know, and maybe depending on how this conversation goes, you know, who knows. But it's also Crabber and Goon. It's not your business, really, at the end of the day. Unless
that
she's
is
like,
true.
Unless she's asking for your help specifically, I wouldn't give any like unsolicited advice unless there's like very clear signs of like, it going worse, you know, or like it's not getting better, that type of thing.
Yeah, it seems like she's asking on behalf of a friend.
Right.
So it's possible that a friend has asked her already.
Yeah. I would say if she's like,
is it worth salvaging the relationship? I would say that I think that the way the question is.
Something, when you salvage something, typically it's because it's broken and you're trying to find any part that you can to sell for money.
Yeah. This one thing isn't going to destroy the relationship. But like, if it is a pattern of behavior,
yeah,
like it's definitely like a pride thing. Like he didn't,
yeah,
he might not know yet that sometimes if you make a bad joke or if you say something in haste, that if you just apologize, sometimes that just takes the heat off immediately. I've done that in fights, like said something I probably shouldn't, or snap and be like, sorry, that was out of line. I shouldn't have done that. And usually that's enough to, if you're like, oh yeah, that's very clear. But sometimes if you just let it go, like if you let it fester, it's actually worse. He hasn't learned that yet, maybe. And so,
I don't know how old you people are. So, who knows?
I'm assuming college.
Oh.
Perhaps they're, I just think everybody's in college.
Yeah, I just can't imagine anyone older or younger actually listening to our show.
I know. I can't imagine a high schooler listening to our pod. If you're in high school and you listen to our podcast, they have stuff on Formed that's probably better for you.
I was going to go the other direction. Be like, you know that there's TikTok, right?
You know there's TikTok, right?
Yeah, go get famous.
Go watch slime videos. Yeah. Go watch not slime the
not
YouTube.
Slime from the yard. But
I mean like go watch videos of people making slime.
Yeah.
Remember that? Anyway. All right, next question.
I do like Nickelodeon. I saw that Nickelodeon apparently in Latin means like demons are powerful or something like that. I saw I don't think it's exact. It's not exactly that, but I saw something that was like
an Odeon is a Greek word for a theater, and a Nickelodeon is a place where you can go see movies for a nickel. And so a Nickelodeon is like a thing, and they named the channel after that.
How come I've never heard of it before this moment right now?
Because things don't cost a nickel anymore. So it's been a long time since a Nickelodeon existed.
Yeah, I think it's been longer since there were places called Odeons than when things cost a nickel. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
Things were called Nickelodeons a while ago.
They didn't have nickels in Greece. They had drachma.
Nickels.
All right, whatever.
For other uses, see Nickelodeon disambiguation. Nickelodeon, movie theater, early 20th century type of indoor exhibition space dedicated to showing projected motion pictures in the U.S. and Canada. Set up from converted storefronts, small, simple theaters charged 5 cents for admission, hence the name Nickelodeon.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that
I'm not saying
means, you know, death to God or something like that. Like
the earliest films were shown in peep show machines.
Okay. Can we do another question?
I shouldn't have clicked the link for peep show machine. All right. So
let's peep into this next dating show.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com Visit mintmobile.com/save50 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Question for the next Dating Corner episode. What do Ethan and Pat think about the focus dating fast and the true purpose of why people become missionaries? Based on the conversation in recent days, of course, and my own curiosity. This is from Matthew.
I think those are two very big and different questions. Why do people become missionaries? Typically because God asks them to. They want to follow the invitation of God to serve and evangelize wherever he might send them.
In a particular way.
That's typically why people become missionaries. What do I think about the dating fast? I did it for about 2 months. And then from then on, I didn't really abide by that at all. And
certain little guys who hit their noggin recently would not exist if you followed the dating fast.
I started talking to Emma in like October of my first year. And then like we met at Seek, and then and I told her we can't talk anymore. But then I dated a different girl in between then and the end of the semester. And then I broke up with her while she was overseas. And then like the week after that, I started talking to Emma again.
And she went to Israel, didn't she?
She did go to Israel.
I remember
she was probably at the Ron Beach.
Dude, probably. She's probably married to like the lifeguard.
I know. I might text her and be like, hey, I know we haven't talked since I broke up with you when you were in Israel, but didn't you stay at the Ron Beach Hotel?
It's in Tiberias. You ever been there?
Yeah. That might not go over well. Yeah.
Hey, how's Israel? You ever been to the Ron Beach Hotel?
You still there?
Are you still there? Also sending prayers.
That would be so mean. How are things?
How are things in Israel? Are you still over there? Dude, I remember that. Real ones remember that arc.
Yeah. That was a whole thing. Anyway, so I wasn't like happy about it the whole time that I was not doing the dating fast. Yeah. I was constantly filled with feelings of guilt and like the need to sneak around, and it also didn't feel good to like talk to multiple women at once, and like I was just, there were lots of things that I was not doing well at that time in my life. And I think that's partially a product of just like not being well formed, or like having some brokenness, or just like the place that I was in. Like, who knows? If I was at a different campus with a different team and I was like getting more out of my relationships on campus, I wouldn't have felt the need to, do this, that, and the other thing. So I think the dating fast is easier for some people and harder for other people, because if you have a really good community, then you don't like need the, affirmation of the opposite gender as much, you know, like you can kind of, you're like, okay, I've got good friends, I've got a mission, I've got a purpose here. But if you kind of feel like lost or alone, or the campus doesn't really suit you well, it's way easier to like find solace in the embrace of a woman. And so not the marital embrace, just a normal, where's my hug?
Normal embrace.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm of the opinion that Focus is a great organization. I love Focus. I owe everything, pretty much everything in my life right now, to my time and Focus. But they're also not a religious order. Like if you're a Focus missionary, you don't, they're your employer. Like you don't owe them obedience, right? Like it's, which is kind of a weird thing. Like it is a spiritual thing that you are doing. It is a mission that you are embarking upon. And you do, like, you do have to abide by what the church says. But at the end of the day, like, they could fire you for not doing the dating fast, but I've never heard of any,
I've never heard of that actually
happening, you know? I wouldn't recommend it, but, like, I also wouldn't worry. So, like, I just didn't do it for most of the year, and I still became a team director, you know? Like, you just graduated from college.
This is why we didn't get invited to Seek, guys. Yeah. This is
you're
why.
Surrounded by young women. Like, it makes sense that you would,
Net does the same thing. It's dating fast. And it is difficult. I think it discourages people from joining it as a means to finding a spouse.
Yeah.
Perhaps it serves some purpose, but I think the purpose is more logistical than spiritual. That's my main problem.
I think it helps people. Yeah.
It's easier if everyone's above board. It's easier if the team members aren't dating each other. Like it's easier if there's no romantic entanglements, and it prevents scandal from happening if like team members are dating each other, and they're, because like there's a lot, from what I understand, there's a lot of like going over to each other's houses, and so like that's a problem.
There's a lot of hanging out at weird times of day because you're on a college schedule. So
exactly,
it's
like, and so like
very easy to put yourself in a position that would be compromising. And so I do think it is good to set up good habits while you, it's kind of like they put up, it's like a levee, and they just put a bunch of sandbags over here, and they're like, just hold that, and we're going to build up some other sandbags over here so that when this inevitably breaks, it's not as bad as it could be, you know? And that's kind of what the dating fast is. Yeah. It's like, just wait. You can mess up over here in a year, but until then, we're going to build up your spiritual life. We're going to build up your virtue. We're going to build up, you know, your evangelization skills, like all of this stuff, so that when you do start dating and all of that comes pouring back in, it's not the worst.
It's not a huge deal. Yeah.
So it's like, if you can see the sense of it, it makes sense to do it. But also like I said, not everybody's situation is the same, and it's weird to like put too much weight on this one particular aspect, because like, it's a blanket rule for like 1,000 people. And so naturally it's going to hit people.
It's not going to fit everybody.
It's not going to fit everybody in the same way, because not everybody's
in
the exact
same place.
And
I think they understand that, you know, yeah. I think they understand that.
That's like why, that's why I didn't get fired. Because they were like, oh, you're just like a mess. I was like, yeah. They're like, cool. Stop being a mess. Sweet. I was like, all right, I'll try.
I'll do my best.
And then COVID happened, and then everyone was a mess.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah.
All right, this one's nice and long, so I'm excited for this one. My voice is going, if you can believe it. So
I can believe it. In your humid climate? No.
Leo's sick, so I think I'm getting sick.
Not the
poor guy. Yeah. So this one comes from Steel Curtain 75.
what a name. Crab Rangoon, Steel Curtain. You guys are...
Big Pittsburgh Steelers fan here.
Yeah.
I'm currently in a situation I never thought I'd be in. My girlfriend and I, of over a year, broke up a month ago. It was 110% the right thing, especially for me. We're both in our early 20s in college, and I in particular was not handling many stress situations well. From just a loud noise that kept waking me up to my class graduating without me, the friendships that blew up in my face, all of those things. We're still cordial with one another and friendly. Mm-hmm. We say hello on campus. I feel as though I've accepted the breakup as a reality, and I know that there should be no going back to the way things were before. However, there is still some gut feeling that tells me I may want to give it another shot in the future. I graduate in May, and then we'll be moving a long distance away in mid-July, and she's probably also doing a study abroad in May and June. Any advice from people who have broken up and gotten back together? What should I be looking for as indicators that it is a good time to start again or not? Right now, I want to do Exodus, and I want to get fraternity to be my primary focus, and this keeps popping into my mind. I thought sharing it might be a good way to get some perspective from not my friends, while also sharing a different dating question than I have typically heard. Thanks, Steel Curtain. Ethan, breaking up, getting back together. What's your experience?
Don't do it. I don't know. I don't think it's... I mean, sometimes it's a good idea. Sometimes it's a bad idea. You kind of told me everything except like why you broke up with them in the first place.
Yeah.
So like, unless we know that, it's hard to tell you whether or not you should get, because did you break up because they killed your dad? Then like, then don't get back together with them.
And you could probably give it a shot.
Or did you break up because you, did you break up, depends on if you like your dad. Or did you break up because you guys were both too busy, you know? And now
yeah, they said 110% the right decision. So it sounds like, yeah.
So if it was, if it was 110% the right decision to break up, then how is it 110% the right decision to get back together?
You know this because you were around. Phoebe and I broke up for like a week.
Oh, I remember
in college.
That.
Do you remember that? Yeah, it was tough.
Oh, deeply.
And it was resolved in a week. Like,
yeah,
it was resolved in like a week. And so,
I almost called social services because I thought I might need to have someone go check on you. You were not doing well.
Not a good place.
Yeah.
One of the best dating conversations I ever had, though, was like, I was like a mess and I was sitting in the classroom building in Franciscan, and I was just like, I probably hadn't been showering, right? And I was just like an absolute mess. And one of my professors walks by and he's like, what's been going on? I kind of told him, and he's like, oh man, Pat, I want to tell you this and I want you to take it well, but I am so glad I'm not dating anymore. And he left, and I was like, that honestly gives me hope that this will end one day, you know, like, yeah, it's not forever.
Yes.
But I will say, like, my experience was we broke up and immediately regretted it.
Yes.
And the only reason why we were staying broken up was because we were like, well, we did, so we have to. But then, like, we were hanging out and we kept accidentally calling each other babe and like talking about how we missed each other and still like, and being, it was like, it was very obviously,
and we were
like,
still,
we did not.
We were still making out even though we were broken up. Oh.
It was like, it was very clear, like, oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, we really do care about each other. And we got back together pretty quickly after that. And so, like, that was my experience. Now, I don't think that necessarily means if you're not back together, then you're probably never going to get back together. But that's what my gut is telling me, is that if you're like, this was right, then it's probably right. Especially, he said 100% sure that they're breaking up, 100% sure it was a good decision. And he's moving away and she's going abroad.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like there's not much time to rekindle that. It sounds like you guys are moving on with your lives.
Yeah. Like, if she's going, is she going abroad permanently? Like, is she going to become one of those Euro trash?
Studying. I think she's studying abroad.
Okay.
Euro trash. Is that reality show where they make songs?
That's Eurovision.
What did I say?
I would like to enter the Eurovision contest. I think it's not fair that we don't get to compete. I think they know, they call it Eurovision because they know that America would win every time. So every they have to limit it to the European continent.
England was good at music in the 70s and 80s, and that's only because the FBI got everyone hooked on crack. Like, when we were off crack, we figured it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still struggling, but that's neither here nor there. I think Eurovision is a great program. The yeah, it sounds like if she's going to study abroad and you're moving somewhere else, then it does not seem intuitive to, like, date again. And you yourself said that you wanted to focus more on fraternity and all this other stuff. So, like, unless it's, like, a kind of a, you know, Ross getting on the plane to stop Rachel from leaving type situation, you know, then I would say just, like, move on. You know?
Yeah, my understanding of getting back together is, like, the reason why we broke up is either irrelevant or is no longer there.
Yeah.
Because once you break up, it's like, you know, forever that there's a reason why you would not date this person. And if it ever materializes again.
Right.
You know, like, for me and Phoebe, it was like, oh, actually, this was a misunderstanding. It wasn't like a conflict. Right. It was like, it was a misunderstanding of how we should be approaching difficulties in our personal lives.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't, and when, once we understood how we should better understand, like, it was, oh, we're having difficulties in our personal lives, which means it's not the right time to date. We shouldn't be dating right now. That was, like, the reason. And so that was, that was an incorrect way to handle it. Cause we were like, there's no, it was like, oh, we're supposed to break up. But we were like, oh, that was actually not true. Let's get back together. And so, like, if that's the case, try it, I guess. Like, if you're, you know, if you were mistaken, you know, but if it's like, oh, I was committing adultery,
watching Adult Swim.
Yeah. She caught me watching Rick and Morty, and that was just
committing adultery, but it's just watching Adult Swim.
That's enough. If you watch that show with, like, the soda and the hamburger and the French fries, that's actually annullable. You can actually just, if you just watch that, your marriage is dissolved.
Good.
I don't know what it's called, but it's a show about fast food.
How about
this?
Thick and Morty.
Has anyone ever thought about that?
It's you and me.
Thick and Farty.
Also you.
And it's a show about a butt.
Yeah. Wow. I guarantee you that's been said in the writer's room at one point. for that show.
And also they're committing incest. That's like that's basically how Rick and Morty goes. They're committing crimes.
Yeah. I don't think
Dan Harmon has a weird thing about that. He needs
I don't think you should get back together with this person. I think that the fact that you even have to ask means that you probably, like, if you wanted to date someone, you wouldn't have to write into a comedy Catholic advice podcast to determine whether or not you wanted to date someone.
Correct. You know?
So, like, if you need someone to tell you, to give you permission that it's okay to move on, I'm here to tell you it's okay to move on. You're not a bad person. There will be other women. Tons.
There's
actually
a bunch of them.
There's lots. They're out there, and they're coming. And they got the fire of human liberty. And they like to eat. They like to have children. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know you're quoting Alex Jones. I know that's what's happening.
Yeah.
I can't believe that Alex Jones and Michael Voris's arcs are so similar.
They really are.
Dude,
Michael Voris
the
actually
same
made
person.
Out better than Alex Jones, because Michael Voris isn't $1 billion in debt to the Sandy Hook school.
That is fair. But it's the same arc. They got started on local access television.
Mm-hmm.
They started a conspiracy theory online newspaper that sells supplements.
Mm-hmm.
They were hated by the left.
Yeah.
Falsely accused.
Yeah.
Of, I'm just
yes.
kidding.
Yes.
Rightfully falsely accused of slander. I was going to make a joke, but like, man, I can't believe the deep state got Michael Voris and Alex Jones in the same way.
They did.
But then they both got defamation. They both got defamation slammed and bankrupted by a defamation lawsuit. Crazy.
Yeah. It's funny that the Vatican has less money to sue Michael Voris than the Sandy Hook Elementary School has to sue Alex Jones. Like, you'd think that the Vatican lawsuit would be way bigger, but instead
it wasn't the Vatican that sued him.
Who was it?
It was the Vicar General for the diocese of some diocese in New Hampshire.
Oh. But the Vicar General. New Hampshire.
Wait, Connecticut. Never mind.
All right.
Sandy Hook was in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Regardless. That's all. I don't have much else to say. There's going to be other women. And that's the dating advice show. I hope you learned something.
I do have more to say about the Alex Jones trial. So I do think that it is also the case that they had a lawyer working pro bono and a bunch of people paid money because they did want to see Alex Jones taken down. That is true. Now, what Alex Jones said is that it was a targeted attack and they're fabricating things. They super didn't fabricate it. He totally did that. Like, everything they said, he said. Mm-hmm. Like, that's absolutely true. I've heard it for myself.
It's all been recorded.
It's all been recorded.
It's in the documents.
No, it's not taken out of context. We've heard the clips, you know, anyway. But he definitely said it. But it was absolutely like, aha, we got him. Like, we can take this guy out. It's more so that because he was annoying, more so than anything else. Same thing with Michael Voris. It's like, oh, he finally slipped up. We got him. You know, that's kind of how these things go.
Yeah.
You catch more flies with honey. Catch more honeys looking fly.
I think that's all that needs to be said.
Sorry, I said my... More. Dr. Ethan, do you have anything else for the people?
You catch more honey with Patrick's feet than you catch with flies on his feet.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll pray for you. We'll see you all.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the mead. I was talking about the mead.
Yeah, I got the mead,
From the other episode.
I'll send you some.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.